This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The tiny house and micro-apartment movements are sweeping American cities and towns. In cities, these teeny units are proposed as a stylish, affordable solution for the homeless and as a way to keep young urbanites from getting squeezed out of the rental market. Alexis Sobel-Fitz looked into the psychological ramifications of living in cramped spaces and found that micro-living may result in another kind of squeeze. Alexis is co-anchor of the Cross Sections blog and contributing writer for Undark. That's where we found her article on the psychology of living in small spaces. And Alexis, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you, Virginia.
So the tiny house movement, that's been gaining momentum for some time. Just remind us, what's the argument for wanting to live in a tiny house?
The tiny house movement is something that's really happening because we have a large number of urbanites who are marrying later and they're remaining single for longer and they're increasingly locating themselves in cities. And they may not be ready for a large family home, but increasingly someone in their 30s who's unmarried won't want to live with roommates. So tiny homes are really a phenomenon of a new social situation that we're finding ourselves in.
So this has been going on for a while, as we said, rural suburban places. But how about Carmel Place? Now, this is a complex that started welcoming residents this spring in New York City. How much space in those units?
So Carmel Place has studio rentals that are between 252 and 360 square feet, which for New York is not all that small, but compared to units around the country where typically there's an imposed limitation of 400 square feet minimum for apartment rentals.
And how much do they cost?
They start at about $2,500 per month. And range up into the 3,000s.
You spoke to some scholars and looked at some studies on how small spaces can affect psychology. What are some of the findings?
So there isn't much research on the effects of living in a small space for a single person. But housing crowding, which is defined as having more people in a unit than there are rooms, has been linked to all sorts of things, including social withdrawal, stress and aggravation. And there's a number of researchers that believe that crowded housing, most importantly, may have a trickle-down effect on the kids who are raised in these kinds of units. There's studies showing that children who spend their high school years in crowded households, which is defined in that study as a home with more family members than there are rooms, those children are less likely to graduate high school and complete college by age 25. But as I found in the article, it's hard to control for what in these studies happens because of the tiny space and what happens because of poverty.
Right. There's often an association of people crowded into an apartment because they can't afford something else.
Exactly.
So the micro apartment unit has been proposed as a housing option for lower income residents. How is that changing things for them?
Well, it really remains to be determined how much tiny homes will actually provide a different outcome for people in homeless populations. A well-designed micro unit or tiny home might be a fantastic option for housing people who are housing insecure. One thing that research shows is that one of the most important things for children in their home space is stability and privacy. So being in a tiny unit where the children and parents don't have to move often and are able to remain secure in their home and set up a comfortable home base might be a better option for children than ushering between larger apartments that may be less stable.
Yeah, that sounds like I can imagine this for millennials, right? You know, those in the creative economy just starting out in the city. Not so much for a low-income family. But what if the single millennials, they get married, they start a family? Is there room for expansion in these kind of units?
So the worry with micro units is that they drive up housing prices in urban environments so that residents become used to paying more money for less space. And then those residents who pay more money for less space when they want to upgrade, maybe they're having a family, maybe they've been married, and they want to upgrade to more space, they're priced out of those larger spaces. That said, small spaces, if they're well designed, can absolutely accommodate a family. What's needed for adequate family housing is space for privacy for each member of the family and elegant design, views, all things that can be accomplished in a small amount of space if it's well designed.
Would you live in a micro apartment, Alexis?
Oh, I absolutely would. Especially the ones at Carmel Place are beautiful and very nicely designed. Unfortunately, they're a little bit out of my price range.
Well, I was thinking that for $25.70, there aren't a lot of homeless people or economically insecure people who would be able to do that.
Right. Well, there's a real difference between these studies on people who are housing insecure, who are raising families in crowded apartments, and single millennials who are living in small luxury units that might have communal outdoor space, they might have communal lounges, they might have all sorts of resources to give residents more space than the one tiny unit. So really, it's a matter of figuring out what the science is applying to before making any conclusions about what kind of housing is good.
Well, Alexis, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Alexis Sobel-Fitz, co-anchor of the Cross Sections blog and contributing editor at Columbia Journalism Review. You can find a link to read her article, The Psychology of Living in Small Spaces. The link is at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.